I would like to share some things with you this evening concerning Timothy. And not really having reference to the epistles to Timothy, I'm talking about Timothy, the man, Timothy, the person himself. You know, there are various ways to study the scriptures. Now, you know, something that I have never been very successful at is to just take the Bible and just read it. Some people can do that. Some people can just take the Bible and start at the very beginning with Genesis 1 and 1 and just read. But every time that I do that, sometimes I might get away, sometimes I might get through several chapters, but I'm going to start chasing something. I'm going to come across something and I'm going to veer off into the study of a particular subject or something. And of course, you know, you can study the scriptures that way by subjects. You could study on the subject of salvation. You could study sanctification. You could study about the church, or you could study about eternal security. There, you know, you could take many different subjects. And then we can do character studies in the scriptures. And I find that very interesting, because whenever I do that, whenever I take somebody and I just begin to study what the Bible tells me about their life, the events of their life that are recorded, then that person just becomes a lot more real to me. And I've come across a lot of things like character studies that caused me to realize that these people that we read about in the scriptures were people like us. I mean, they were human beings just like us, and they had their ups and downs, they had their struggles, and they become more real life people to us, I believe, when we do that. You know, Timothy, I mean, we hear Timothy mentioned a lot. But perhaps most of the time when you hear his name, it's in reference to something that the Apostle Paul wrote to him in either 1st or 2nd Timothy. But who was this young preacher named Timothy? And you know, when you think about it, of all the billions of people, I mean, we have a population in the world today in the billions. Of all the billions of people that are in the world right now, and all of those that have already passed through the scene of life, and you know, all those that will yet come, however long the Lord allows time to go on, when you look at the big picture and consider the population of this world from the time that it began until the time that it ends, there's such a minute percentage of the people that lived in this world that are going to be spoken of in the Holy Scriptures. There, you know, nobody's ever going to read about you and I in the Scriptures. They've already been recorded. They've been completed. And though there are a lot of names and a lot of different people that we can read about throughout the Scriptures, there's really very, very small percentage of people to have lived in the world that are going to be spoken of in the Holy Bible. Sometimes the Bible mentions somebody and we don't even know their name. We were not even given their name. The woman in the 26th chapter of, if not where we're going to be at mainly today, but if you turn to the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and if we look at beginning with the 6th verse, it says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." And, you know, if we take what the scriptures tell us, there's not much that we can learn about this woman. The account that I have read here didn't speak of her name. It just called her a woman, or this woman. And there's not much really that's recorded here. But look at what Jesus said. He said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." And we can look in 2 Kings chapter 5 and read about the little maid that helped Naaman, and there's not very much that we're told about her, and there again we're not given her name. There are times in the Old Testament where we are given an account of something that one of the prophets did, and it simply references them as a man of God. There was a man of God who came to a certain place and performed a certain miracle, something like that, and not even told off it. But, you know, I mean, really, if a person's name is never mentioned, that's not the most important thing. What this woman did that we read about here in the 26th chapter of Matthew, what she did, us having record of that, is far more important than really knowing who she actually was. And what we do for the Lord is more important for people to recognize and for people to remember than who it was that did it, or what the person's name even was that was responsible for that. But we do have some information that we're given about this young man that Paul had a great love for and a great respect for. And honestly, the reason that we have as much in the scriptures and know as much from the scriptures as we do about Timothy is because of the close connection that he had and the close companionship that he had with the Apostle Paul. Generally, when we are told something about him, it's because of something that he was doing with the Apostle Paul. But he's mentioned, I believe, for the first time in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 16, in the first verse. It says, "Then came he," that is Paul, "then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." Now, there is something that we know about Timothy and his family. We know that he was born of a Jewish mother and a Gentile father. And Luke, here in writing the Acts of the Apostles, Luke referenced him as who was a Jew and who was a believer. Now, the Apostle Paul had a little bit more to say about her, and we learn a little bit more about Timothy's mother in Paul's second epistle to Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll just turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5. Paul said, "When I call to remembrance," this was Timothy whom he was addressing, "when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And so, Luke did not mention this about her, but here the Apostle Paul gives us what her name was. That's still not a lot. I mean, we still don't know a lot about her, but this is the first place, to the best of my knowledge, that this man known as Timothy was spoken of. And I guess that we really perhaps don't know with certainty if this was the time and the place where the Apostle Paul became acquainted with him or not. I don't know certainly whether it was or not. It's the first mention of them together, but I don't know if the Apostle knew them before. He seems to, from what he said there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it would kind of make you to believe that he knew something about this family, that he knew something about his grandmother and about his mother, and that they were very faithful women. But we're just told here that Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and Timothy, or Timotheus, was there. Some believe that he was influenced, that he was saved under Paul's ministry, under Paul's preaching, because of serving towards him. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in the second verse, Paul calls Timothy his own son in the faith. His own son in the faith. Now, Timothy was not his son according to the flesh. Paul viewed him as his spiritual son and called him his own son in the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in the 17th verse, Paul spoke about Timothy in this way as well, and he said, For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Now, we can know, people can take the scriptures and make a big issue out of anything. But we can know with certainty that, you know, though the Apostle Paul said that Timothy was his beloved son, I mean, we know that he wasn't his natural father, that Paul was not his natural father, because we're told about his natural father having been a Gentile. And so Paul was making reference to Timothy as his son in the Lord, or his son in the faith. It seems to me that when you consider what Paul said there in that verse that we looked at concerning his mother and his grandmother in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, it seems that perhaps that Paul was saying there that it was the women in his life, it was his grandmother and his mother that had a great influence upon him. Paul mentions this young man several times in his epistles. He seemed very prone to mention Timothy in his salutations to different churches and to different ones. And I want to just give you a list, and if you want to make record of this, you can look at these. But Paul, about Timothy, in his opening salutation, in his opening remarks, he speaks of him in 2 Corinthians 1 and 1, in Philippians 1 and 1, in Colossians 1 and 1, in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 1, and in Philemon 1 and 1. In all those epistles, when Paul began his writing, he mentioned this young man, Timothy, that he was so fond of. Paul had great love for him. He really did. He had great love for Timothy. And he had great confidence in him. And I'm not going to share really a great deal with you tonight. There's a lot more that you can study the book of Acts and read a lot more about him yourself. But you'll find situations where the Apostle Paul, when he was on his missionary journeys, that he really entrusted things to Timothy. And so we, when we read of their encounter there in the 16th chapter of Acts, Paul and Barnabas had just parted company. They had just parted company. If you look in the latter part of the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul and Barnabas had just parted company because they had a sharp disagreement with each other. Yeah, that happened in their days too. It sure did. It's nothing new. They had a sharp disagreement one with another, and it was concerning John Mark. If you look back in the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in Acts 13, verse 13, it says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." and about that. And so the latter part of the 15th chapter of Acts tells us about that, that beginning with verse 36 and going on down through about verse 40, we're told there that Paul and Barnabas on Paul's second missionary journey, that Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, and Paul didn't want to. Paul didn't like that idea, and it says Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And so they ended up, the contention became such that they ended up parting from one another, and Paul chose Silas, and Barnabas took John Mark, his nephew, with him. And so when we come to the place in the 16th chapter of Acts where Paul and Timothy have this meeting, then we know that Silas also is in the company of Paul. Haven't really figured out for sure why Timothy didn't end up in the Philippian jail, but he didn't. Paul and Silas did. But he became one of Paul's travel companions. Timothy did. So I think that we can see there how that even that shows us that the Apostle Paul had confidence in him, because I mean he had just said, I don't think John Mark should go with us. So Paul was evidently had some particulars about who would travel with him, but he took Timothy with him. If we look at the 6th through the 10th verse of that same chapter of Acts 16, it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And so, as I said, this was Paul's second missionary journey, and Timothy played a prominent part in that journey, in that missionary journey. The Apostle Paul, later on, wrote to him, wrote two epistles to him. In fact, there are three epistles in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, that the Apostle Paul wrote letters to young preachers, and they are known as the pastoral epistles in the New Testament. But he wrote to Timothy and gave him some very detailed instructions and advice about the ministry. We know that Timothy was a young preacher. I mean, by age, he was a young preacher, because the Apostle Paul said things to him about that. He told him in one of the epistles, he said, don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. And so if we look at the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, it says, beginning with verse 10, it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more than those in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still." And so here they got separated. "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." Now, they were the two, Silas and Timothy, were the two that Paul was waiting for in Athens when he saw the idolatry of that city. He was there waiting for them to catch up with him and to reconnect with him when he saw that he was in a city that was just filled with idol worship. And we know what that led to. We know that led to that great sermon that Paul preached there at Mars Hill. And then if you look in the next chapter, in the 18th chapter, in the 5th verse, it says, "When Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." And so they rejoined him. Now, when Paul wrote his epistle to the church at Thessalonica, he explains this in more detail. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, in the first 6 verses of that chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul said, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our friend, the God you, and to comfort you concerning your faith." Now, that's where Paul had problems, was there in Thessalonica. And it says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." And so Paul was encouraged by the report that was brought to him by his young friend Timothy concerning the things that were going on in Thessalonica. I'm trying to do the best I can here, but this gets complicated for me. Trying to keep up with all of this. In the second chapter of Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. He spoke highly of this man named Timothy. In Philippians chapter 2, I believe beginning about verse 19, Paul said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." So, Timothy, Paul was saying here to the Philippians, Timothy, he was a big help to me. He faithfully served the Lord and was a big help to Paul in his missionary work. You know, Paul, as I said, he wrote two epistles to him. One of them, the Apostle Paul wrote to him just shortly before he was martyred. And one of the things that he told Timothy was, getting ready to happen. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. And when we read about how that these men traveled together and the mutual respect that they had for one another, then I think that it would shed some light on what Paul said to Timothy in that epistle, when Timothy received news that Paul was just about to lose his head, no doubt was very sad thing for him to hear, but loved the truth, because he told Timothy to preach the truth. He wrote to him and he said, even after all that Paul had suffered, all the persecution he had suffered because he preached the truth, he wrote to Timothy, he said, "You preach the truth, you preach the word. You be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." And he told him that the time would come when they wouldn't endure sound doctrine. They would heap themselves teachers after their own lust, heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, but he said, you preach it just the same. So, I guess the reason that I wanted to do this tonight is because you can really, you know, pick up some good things if you take someone from the scriptures, do a character study. Study about Abraham or Moses. Just go through successively and study about them and run the references that the reference verses that pertain to them. You can learn a lot about the things that they went through and things that they faced, and you know, how that, as I said, sometimes you come across things that you just at least I do. It may not affect you that way, but sometimes I just come across things that just like, wow, this was not just a Bible character. This was a real person. This was somebody that served the Lord in their day like we're serving the Lord in our day. and we read about problems that they had, things that they faced, things they had to overcome by the help of the Lord. And so I hope maybe that this has been helpful to somebody in some way. These people lived in a time, Timothy lived in a time, Paul lived in a time where they didn't enjoy many of the things that you and I do today. We have the opportunity right now. We still have it. We may not always, but right now we still have the opportunity before us to live in freedom. They didn't have that. Just like what we read after the fall at Thessalonica, and sometimes people would, that he shared the gospel with, would revolt to the point that they'd have to, one time they had to put him in a basket, let him down over a wall to save his life. But we've got freedom to do this work. And we need to take advantage of it, because that may be gone someday. May be gone someday soon. Then that may slip away. That may be taken away from you. Anybody have anything on your heart? I know I've probably gone on. Somebody had to do something every time I did it. Yeah, and even when our Baptist forefathers, even when they first came to, they were under persecution here for some time.